This morning we are back in our occasional topical series we're running throughout this year entitled Core, the Heartbeat of Avenue. We've been meeting here as a church at Avenue Primary School for 11 years now. And in this series, we're sort of revisiting the five core values that have shaped our church in that time. And there they are on the screen, that we are God-centered, a loving family, Bible-based, reaching out with the gospel of grace with everyone involved. And for each of those values, we want to think, well, what does this particular value have to say to us today as a church? 11 years on, that's a long time. For some of us, it feels longer than others. I wasn't here the whole time. But we're thinking, what do these core values, how do they speak to us as a church at this stage in our life? And this week, we're thinking about the core value, we are a loving family. And I think it's fair to say, of the five core values we have at Avenue, this is the one we maybe talk about the most, the one we emphasize the most. But also, I'm struck, it's also a statement that is open to some massive misunderstandings. I've chatted to people over the years, and people have said, well, what it means is this. And you sort of, well, actually, well, no, I don't think that is what we mean by that. So what do we mean by this statement? Do we mean, as a church, we're all about families with children? Well, no, we don't mean that. We thank God for blessing us as a church with many children. We put a lot of effort into our work with children. Week in, week out, Sunday Club, Accelerate, Ace, Source, Who Let the Dads Out once a month. But when we say we want to be a loving family, we want to be a loving family of people at every stage of their lives, young and old, with children, without children, whatever stage of life we are at. We believe we want to listen to God's call to love one another. This is linked in with that. Maybe some people think, well, we're a loving family because we think families are always a good thing. We want to model ourselves on families. Well, again, I say no. Now, we believe families at their best do reflect something of the character of God. We want to be, as a church, supporting families, marriages, both inside the church and outside it. But we also know from God's word and from our experience, families can be deeply dysfunctional in this fallen world. Again, for some people, you say the word family, their heart lifts. For other people, you say the word family, and they're crushed. They go, family for me was not a good thing. Why would I want to be part of another family? So this core value isn't about holding up family values as such. And again, another misunderstanding, I think, is, well, being a family, as Anne's may point out to you, it's just about being warm and fluffy with each other. There's a little child kissing a puppy. And mother will have to rush and wash the lips in a little second. But no, actually, a loving family isn't about just warm and fluffy feelings for each other. We are a loving family at Avenue. But we have to admit that those two words, love and family, can be understood in so many different ways. We need the Word of God, the Bible, to define for us what it means for a church to be a loving family. And that's where we're going to spend a bit of time, the next few minutes, at this passage in 1 John, a passage all about the love God has for us, and then in response to love we are to have for one another. I think it's a hugely significant passage, actually, for thinking about what it means to be a loving family. Because I want to say, what we mean by that statement, we are a loving family, is something like this. I think this is what John helps us to see. We are a church family created by the love of God in Jesus to display the love of God in Jesus to everyone in this part of Leicester. So we're a church family created by the love of God in Jesus to display the love of God in Jesus to everyone in this part of Leicester. This bit of 1 John reminds us, God loved us so much, he brought us into his family through the death and resurrection of his son. And therefore, John urges Christians to let that same love of God in Jesus to shape and empower Christians so we can then love one another and display God's character as we do that. Because we are made up of very different people, from different backgrounds, different experiences, different interests, different giftings, different accents, different ways we dress. But what unites us is the fact that Jesus died and rose again to bring us into relationship with his father. We're a loving family, not because that's just a nice way to be or to live. We're a loving family because ultimately we now belong to the family of God. We are loved by God the Father. We have been rescued by God the Son. And we're united together by God the Holy Spirit. This is a value all about God and his love that shapes and binds us. So let's look at this passage in 1 John together now. Just a bit of introduction on 1 John. So written towards the end of the New Testament era, so the late 80s AD, and written, most people think, by John the Apostle, one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. John refers to himself as the elder in 2 and 3 John. So almost certainly John is an old man when he's writing this. And he's often seen as the last surviving member of the 12. All the other 12 disciples have been martyred by this stage, like so Peter, Andrew. John is the last one standing, if you like. And I think it's really helpful to read 1 John, and actually all the letters of John in the Bible, as sort of wisdom from an older, wiser Christian. Things that this Christian wants to tell us that he has learnt over the course of a life lived for Jesus. And for John, what really matters in the Christian life, in the life of a church community, is that we love one another. That's a refrain we get again and again in this letter, and it begins our reading this morning, verses 7 and 8. Let me read that for us again. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. You get that word over and over again in John's letter, love. Love one another, because God loved us. I think it's fitting that John's the one who says this, because in John's gospel, when he refers to himself, he refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. See, John was loved by Jesus, and so he urges Christians to love like Jesus. And if you look at verse 7, the NIV sort of translates that opening address as dear friends. But more literally, you could read it as beloved, let us love one another. There's a real link there. The same word love is in both of it. John's saying, your people who are loved, you are beloved by God in Jesus. So therefore, love one another. In one sense, John's saying, we are all the disciples whom Jesus loved. Every Christian sitting in this room can call themselves, I am the disciple whom Jesus loves. And therefore, we need to listen to this call to love one another as Jesus first loved us. And actually, according to John, the stakes are really high here. It's not just a thing of love one another because that will just make things run more smoothly. Love one another, otherwise you'll be irritating. Love one another, otherwise just no one's going to get anything done. No, actually, verse 7 and 8, John says this is absolutely fundamental importance. Verse 7, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God. It's astonishing, actually. John says, if you are striving to love one another, you have real assurance that God is working in you. You belong to God through Jesus. But if you're refusing to love other believers, then actually you don't have that assurance. You need to see the connection between love for others and saving faith in Christ in the first place. So when we say at Avenue we want to be a loving family, that's not just the icing on the cake, that's just on a good day. That's fundamental to who we are, to our new identity in Christ. So these verses, verses 7 to 12, I think John gives us sort of three reasons why Christians are called to love one another. We're going to look at each of the reasons in turn, and then we're going to finish with maybe three challenges we get from each of those reasons. So first of all, let us love one another, says John, because God is love. That's verses 7 to 8 again. Look down at verse 7 for a minute. There John sort of emphasizes the importance of love by telling his readers, love comes from God. So he says, love one another because love comes from God. But then if we haven't got the point, verse 8, he goes even further than that. Gives us one of the most striking descriptions of God we get anywhere in the Bible. Verse 8, whoever does not love does not know God because God is love. It's an amazing statement. God is love. What John isn't saying is God is loving. He's not saying God loves people or sometimes loves people. He says, no, God is love. In his very nature, his very essence of who God is love. So God defines love, says John. We will not understand the true meaning of love unless we look at the God who is love. It's an amazing statement John just chucks out at us. God is love. There are three other instances in the New Testament where we're told that God is something. In John's Gospel, chapter 4, God is spirit. Earlier in 1 John, we hear God is light. In Hebrews 12, God is a consuming fire. These are fundamental truths about God. But here, repeated twice in this chapter, verse 8 and verse 16, just after our reading, John says God is love. It is fundamental to who God is. And what does John mean by that? Well, I think John is actually referring to the Trinity here, to the fact that God has revealed himself to be one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is love, says John, because God has always loved. God has always been a loving community between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's why God is love and always has been love, even before the creation of the world. So the Father has always loved the Son. The Son has always loved the Father. The Spirit has always loved the Father, and so on. God is this community of love, a loving community. And John says it's fundamental to who God is. God is love because God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I think John really wants us to see the practical impact that God is Trinity here. Trinity's a funny doctrine. It's one we're often baffled by. We're never going to fully understand it. We even feel a bit embarrassed by it sometimes. Let's just move on from the Trinity. But for John here, the Trinity is deeply practical. Because if the God who made the world, if the God who made us, has always been a loving community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then his people must be a loving community themselves. If God is love and always has been love, then that is why love is so fundamental to what it means to belong to God through Jesus. Again, the Bible is clear throughout. Each one of us is made in God's image. But that image has been broken by sin, but Jesus entered our world to save us and restore the image of God in us. We're called to love one another as Christians because that's what every single human being in this world is created to do. We were created to love God and love our neighbor. And when Christians begin to love one another, that is like Jesus putting the pieces back together again. Jesus taking us and saying, I'm going to restore you. I love you so much, I'm not going to throw you away. I'm not going to bin you. I'm going to restore my image in you. And Jesus does that by placing us in God's family, in the church, and calling us to love one another as God's family. So when we say at Avenue, we want to be a loving family, what that's really saying is we want to bear the likeness of our Father in heaven. We want knowing God to change the way we are, the things we do. God is love, says John. He has always been a loving community. And therefore, John says, you Christians, love one another. Because that's who God's made you to be, who God has redeemed you to be in Jesus. I think the great hope here is actually that God isn't saying, I'm love, haha, but you're not. He's not just saying, I'm love, that's great for me, I just want to tell you how happy I am. No, actually, God is saying, I'm love, and I want to teach you how to love. And John says, we could not wish for a better teacher than the God of love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. See, God is love in himself, verses 7 to 8. But then the difference that makes to us, verses 9 to 10, is that God shares his love with us through Jesus. God wasn't content just to go, I am in this perfect, loving relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I'm just going to shut the door and enjoy myself. No, God's love overflows to his creation. It overflows to us. God doesn't just turn in on himself. God welcomes us, invites us to share in the love he has enjoyed from before the creation of the world. See, actually, if you just have verse 7 to 8, well, we could maybe see that God was loving, God was love, if we lived in heaven. Because then we'd see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit living in perfect, loving relationship. But the thing is, we don't live in heaven. We live here on the earth. And so God has found a way to show his love, verse 9, among us. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. That perfect loving community within the Godhead has reached out to us and says, come inside, join us. And in verse 9, God doesn't just reveal his love to us in Jesus. He reveals the full extent of his love for us in Jesus. By revealing himself as the Trinity, God shows us love. His love is eternal. It is joyful. It is self-giving. But revealing his love to us in the cross of Jesus, God shows us his love is sacrificial. It's willing to pay any price. It is undeserved. And John said those aspects of love need to shape our love for one another too. Just look at verse 9 for a minute. How did the Father show his love among us? The answer, he sent his one and only Son into the world. God the Father gave the most precious thing he had, the most precious person to him. He gave for us. And again, that's not just to reveal God's love to us, it's to save us. Verse 9, that we might live through him. Verse 10, he sent Jesus as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus, God's Son, didn't just come and go, I'm here to tell you about God's love. He actually acted out that love and rescued us as his atoning sacrifice for our sins. And the people he showed his love to, people like us, undeserving, loveless, selfish people like us. Verse 10. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So John says, God wasn't just looking in heaven going, I'll see who's interested in my love. I'll see if anyone's learning to love me on their own. I'll see who's deserving of my love. No, John is absolutely just bald about it. He just says, we didn't love God. We didn't love him. That's not what it's about. It's not that we love God. It's that God loved us. If you like, it's this amazing unrequited love story at first. God's passionate love for us long before we even noticed him. We were so obsessed with our little toys and our little concerns and what the world could offer us. We were blind to him, but God didn't take no for an answer. He went down and he demonstrated his love for us. He made the first move. He went ahead of us. Jesus loved us first, says John. We can never flatter ourselves. I think I'm quite a loving person, quite a spiritual person. John says, no, it's not that we love God. Any love we feel for God, God, it's a gift from him that he's generated in us through showing us his love for us. So in a sense, John's saying any love we demonstrate towards God and towards one another is, if you like, a delayed response to the love God has for us. And that gives us a firm ground to stand on. Again, our feelings change all the time. We go up and down, some of us more than others. But John says, this is love, not that we love God. Don't look to yourself. Look to the love God has for you, that he demonstrated for you in sending his son, Jesus. Again, John's trying to tell us here, God doesn't just give us these truths to make us feel awkward, to just boast about himself. No, he gives us these truths because he committed to teaching us how to love. And the third reason John gives us for that is for loving one another. It's perhaps the most challenging one for us as a church, for any church, I think, that let us love one another because God reveals his love in this world through his family, the church. That's verses 11 and 12. See, it's funny, we've got five core values, and one of them is that we are committed to reaching out with the gospel. And we're going to be thinking about that probably in the autumn in our next one of these. But actually, we look at that We Are Loving Family, some of us think, well, that's got nothing to do with mission, because that's about, well, us. That's about how we treat one another. That's about the life within the church. John says, love one another, doesn't it? He's talking to Christians. See, we could be forgiven for thinking We Are Loving Family has nothing to do with mission, until we come to verse 12. Because according to verse 12, loving one another is absolutely fundamental to our mission. Verse 12, let me read that for us. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. No one has ever seen God, says John. Back in John's gospel, he said that right at the beginning, in that first chapter, the word became flesh. No one's ever seen God, but God, the one and only, has made him known. You want to know what God's like, says John in his gospel? Look at Jesus. But here he is in this letter using the same phrase, no one has ever seen God. And instead of pointing, as we might expect, to Jesus again, he says, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. If you like, this is God's great missionary strategy for the world, that his people love one another. That's what he says is going to show an unbelieving world who he is, that God's people love one another. What John's describing here is ordinary Christians like us living ordinary lives of love for one another that can be seen by people outside the church. That is how the unseen God has revealed himself to the world. That's why We Are Loving Family is actually important. Because if we're not loving one another, people don't see us loving one another. People don't hear us talking about the love we seek to show one another, however imperfectly, then they're not going to see God. They're going to see a social group, a gang, a hobby. But John says, if we love one another, people will see the unseen God. And we might say, as I might say, surely God, you come up with a better mission strategy than that. Don't put it all on us. But God in his wisdom does put it on us. And he does that actually, if we see verse 12 looking more closely, in order to bless us. It's not just to crush us, it's not to say, well, I could never live like that. Actually, God wants to bless us through us learning how to love one another as he first loved us. Verse 12, again, if we love one another, God lives in us. John says, God isn't telling us to do this on your own. You're not alone. God is living in you. If you trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit has made his home in your life. He will empower you to love. Okay, you don't feel naturally loving. That's a good start. That's the best start ever, because then you're going to ask God to help you. You're going to say, God, live in me. Help me love one another. Help me love the people around me. John says, well, that's the whole point. You love so that you will plumb more deeply into the love God has for you that will change you and train you how to love. And then that last phrase in verse 12, if we love one another, God's love is made complete in us. It's made complete in us. Do you want to know more of God's love for you? Do you want to know more about what he gave up for you? Are there mornings you sort of sit there and maybe you finally opened your Bible going, just, I don't want judgment. I don't want laws. Please just tell me you love me. If we want to know about the love God has for us, John says, we need to be committed to loving one another. Because it's as we do that, the unseen God becomes more and more visible as we see him working in us, changing us to love in ways we could never imagine. As we receive love from other believers, going, that's not natural. That is God doing that. The unseen God becomes visible as we love one another. It's not just about, Lord, just please tell me you love me. I pray that a lot. It's not a wrong prayer to pray. But he often shows us how he loves us as we go out and love others. That is when God's love is made complete in us. As we serve one another, as we pray for one another, as we point one another to Jesus and his love for us. Let us love one another, says John. Verse 11, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This passage is all about that call to be a loving family. So as we finish, I think what are some of the specific challenges and encouragements for us as a church at Avenue from a passage like this? I just want to bring out three things as we finish. The first is this. I think I've been struck by this particularly this week. Are we committed to welcoming others into our church family? What do I mean by that? Well, I think when I was a kid, my dad was not the most sociable of men. I hope he's not listening, but he might. But he wasn't. And so what he liked, he just liked get home from work and just shut the door. Shut the door and spend time with his family. And as a result, family time was great, actually. It was lovely. You just sort of felt loved by your dad. You loved him, your mum, brother and sister. It was great. But I think in many ways, we did keep the whole world at arm's length. We thought, well, we're very happy here. Don't really care much about the world out there. And we might think that is a loving family. But actually, if we take our lead from God, from who he is in the Trinity, then actually, if we think being a loving family as a church is just about, well, look after one another, have a nice time together, and just keep other people at arm's length, then we've completely lost sight of the love God has shown to us. Because God's love, by its very nature, overflows to us, to others. God doesn't shut the door and just enjoy himself. He opens the door and pours out his love on others. And that is what he calls us to do, verse 12, to make God's love visible in this world. We love one another. And I confess, sometimes I think we've got plenty of things to do just loving the people in this room. Maybe you think you've got plenty of things to do just loving the people in your home group. You kind of feel, I'm just about at capacity here. But actually, again, that blessing promised to us in verse 12, as we sacrificially love and welcome others, as we pray for other people to join us, as we pray for other people to come to know Jesus, there is blessing there as we understand more of God's love for us and for the world. See, if we are committed to loving the way God loves us, we need to be committed to welcoming others into our church family. We need to be committed to growing. We said that a few times recently. That says we want to grow. We want other people to come to know Jesus through our witness as a church. And again, this time of year, the events come round. You've got Queen's Road Fair. You've got 527 tonight. You've got Fun Day next week. And that is great. And we need to be pushing ourselves in those ways and making the most of those things. We need to be praying for the next 2 weekends. But we also need to be saying, Lord, how can we do this throughout the year? How can I do this as an individual? I'm not surrounded by my church throughout the week, but how do I demonstrate something of the love of God to people around me? How do I point to the love of God in my church family to people around me? How do I speak about the people in my church family? I don't pretend they're all perfect, but I talk about the ways imperfectly we're loving one another, because actually John says that's how the unseen God is made visible. Loving one another. It's ordinary daily lives lived alongside friends and neighbors and family members so that God is seen in this world. So are we committed to welcoming people? Will we fight that tendency to shut the door maybe and say, this is about as much as I can take of God's love? God actually has more to do through us. His love can be made more complete in us as we love one another so the world can see. I think following on from that more briefly, are we prepared for loving one another to be hard at times? Again, there are days when that phrase, we are a loving family, fills me with joy and excitement. It's basically that I get to share my life, the highs and the lows, with brothers and sisters who are just like me. And then there are other days that phrase, we are a loving family, just can leave me feeling hopeless. Because I get to share my life, the highs and the lows, with brothers and sisters just like me. Selfish, prone to sin, hurt one another. But that's part of the same picture. There are days we rejoice in the love our brothers and sisters show us. The days we go, I could not have coped today without the love other brothers and sisters have shown me. Other days you go, I just don't want to see anyone in my church today. But love is hard sometimes. And if we don't believe that, we look at Jesus. Because the love John describes here is cross-shaped love. It is sacrificial love. We need to be prepared for things to get messy, for our feelings to be hurt, for our regular need to forgive one another. That is what it means to be a loving family in Christ. And that can be hard. But again, verse 12, that is how we begin to see God's love more clearly. How God's love is made complete in us by persevering with one another through those times. So we will understand more the persevering covenant love of God. And the final challenge maybe overarches the whole thing. Will we commit ourselves to learning how to love from Jesus? Because according to this passage, love for God and for one another and for our neighbor is what really counts in the Christian life. That is what the Apostle John came to discover in his long life lived for Jesus. Love is what matters if we're to see people come to faith in Jesus. John was known as the evangelist. And he says, well, why on earth would anyone want to become a Christian if you don't love each other? Why would anyone want to be like you if you're loveless? If we want to be making an impact in our lives and the people around us, we need to love one another. And love is what matters if we're going to keep going as a loving family. If we don't love one another, if we're not praying for one another, how can any of us persevere as followers of Jesus? And this week, I mentioned Laura again, and she's doing the sermon archive on the website. Do look at it. It's all there, getting there. But yeah, she emailed me because there's some preachers there on our website archive that are no longer, we think, walking with Jesus. People who've preached up here and who've walked away from him. And their story isn't over yet. We pray there will be change, but that's a reality. And if we are not committed to loving one another and to praying for one another, how will any of us keep going? How will any of us persevere in a world that is so loveless, that is so hateful at times? From referendums to people being murdered in the street. How will we persevere in a world like this if we are not loving one another, if we do not have each other's interests at heart, if we're not praying for one another? Love is what matters, says John. That's why being a loving family, it's not optional. It's not just avenue on a good day. It's happening on a bad day. On the worst of days, we have to love one another, because only then will we see God's love at work in us as we are forced to depend on his Spirit. So I began by saying that John, we think when he wrote this letter, was a very old man. And one of the church fathers, a man called Jerome, tells a story about John in extreme old age when he lived in the city of Ephesus. And apparently John had grown so old, he had to be carried into church meetings in the arms of his younger disciples. They would carry him in. And it got to the point where all he would say were these words. He would just greet people by saying, "Little children, love one another." He would just say that over and over, "Little children, love one another." And one of his disciples, the story goes, got fed up with him always saying, "Lord, Master," he basically said, "why do you always say this?" And according to Jerome, John's reply was this: "Because it is the Lord's command, and if only this is done, it is enough." Little children, love one another. Not have nice feelings towards one another, not hang out with the people you like. Love one another, because God loved you first. Because God put you here to teach you how to love. Because it's through our love for one another that others get to see the love of God and come to know him for themselves. Little children, says John, love one another. Let's pray. In the quiet, just take a minute to reflect on the love God has shown us in Jesus. Maybe confess the ways we have failed to love those around us this week. And then cry out to Jesus, the Son of God, who is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Father God, we thank you that you are love. Thank you, you have always loved. And thank you that your love has stooped down to rescue us. And actually, your love is not finished with us yet. You have more to teach us about the God that you are and about the people you call us to be. More than that, the people you empower us to be by your Spirit living in us. Father, please encourage us that we do not fight the fight to love on our own. That you are with us, your Spirit is with us, and also you have placed our brothers and sisters in Christ around us. Father, would we as a church family at Avenue be a loving family? Would we help one another love you, love one another, and love our world? So that you, Lord, the unseen God, would be made visible more and more in our life together. For Jesus' sake, we ask it. Amen.